Tim McGraw in Q Country, and maybe we should just sleep on it tonight. 6:51, breakfast with Barks, 3 degrees, windy, gusting up to 90 kilometers an hour today, and a high of 3 in the wet stuff. It's Fred Patterson time from CanadianThinker.com. Hello, Freddie P.
Good morning, Barks. Good to be with you again.
Well, I'll tell you what, my friend. I know we are not fond of the dreaded Bleu Blanc et Rouge, and the Habs are just doing it to us. They moved on to the second round. It's driving me nuts.
Same here. That game on Sunday, it was something else because, well, as you saw, pretty well the entire game was played in the Habs' end.
Mm-hmm.
And Halak, I'll give it to him. He keeps coming up with the saves. And then it's crazy how the Habs just come down the ice and innocent little plays turn into goals. So you have to wonder, it's starting to press upon me, Barks, that is this another one of those years? Is this an 86? Is this a 93?
Mm-hmm.
Where this team, of all teams, the worst team to have it happen to, they're a team of destiny? I pray not, Barks. I pray not.
Well, I tell you what, I'm also thinking they better not recreate the classic Toronto Maple Leaf song of the 60s, clear the track, here comes Shaq, to clear the track, here comes Halak.
Hey, yeah,
that do not be... want that. Do
no,
that. That's like spitting on a grave.
I can't believe it can continue. Like, I can't believe that the Pittsburgh Penguins over seven games are not going to prove that they're the far superior team. I would suspect it still won't go seven. Pittsburgh will come up with something. If they don't, though, I'm severely concerned because Montreal would play Philadelphia or Boston in the next round. Although the Bruins are playing very well, it'd be interesting to see what happens when the Habs meet some sandpaper, if it gets to that. I still don't think it's going to get to that, though. I think Sydney is going to lead the way and snuff out this aberration.
Well, I'll tell you what, I got a email yesterday from, now here's a veteran Pittsburgh Penguin player's name, okay? Les Binkley.
Yes.
Les is, I emceed his daughter's wedding, and Les lives in Florida now and was their head scout for many, many years. Les says now he wears all his Stanley Cup rings to give the Penguins of today positive energy. So I'm saying, go, Les, go.
Yeah, he was a goaltender, Les Binkley.
Yes, he was. In the old days, and they didn't wear masks.
They didn't wear a mask, and you see those old film clips, video clips, and their equipment was just so tight to their body, you wonder how they stopped anything. In fact, when you see a lot of those old highlights from back in the 60s, it's amazing some of the pucks they didn't stop and was commonplace.
Well, I remember Johnny Bauer's first blocker looked like my grandmother's oven mitt. Remember those? The little round ones at the bottom when they were
Yeah.
And of course, and back then, it was just regular leather. There's none of this colored stuff for matching your uniform to your pads or whatever.
No. The equipment was half the size and twice the weight.
Absolutely. Now, our barbecue question this week is, you being a barbecue guru, this is a gentleman by the name of Chris who emailed this saying simply, what is the best thickness for a steak? Because he had trouble. He bought a 2-inch thick ribeye the other day, wanted it medium rare, but left it on too long, and literally, he said, made it a two-inch thick piece of charcoal. So what's your preference? Do you like the bigger cut, or would you rather have a couple of smaller steaks instead of one big honking one?
Probably. 2 inches is pushing it as far as thickness goes,
okay.
Because, I mean that really takes the
basic one in Alberta here, buddy.
That's
your small.
I mean, you've got to really know what you're doing with that thickness. I'm saying, you know, an inch and a half is nice, and then 2 to 8 makes it great. 2-1 angle, flip it over, 2-1 angle, flip it back over, 2 angle. Like, I mean, 2 minutes. And, you know, 8 to 10 minutes, and you have, like, a nice medium steak probably leaning towards rare if you have your barbecue set properly. But when you get into the 2-inch, it's hard not to overcook the outside before you get to the inside, if you can follow what I'm saying. I mean, hey, believe me, there is a way if you know what you're doing, but to the average layman, I would stay away from a 2-inch thick steak.
Well, there you go. Well, again, I'll send you some pictures, and we'll talk about it next week, because I'll show you the picture of the one I got last year for my birthday from the ranchers out here, okay? That's going to let you know it's going to be a baby come on. So I'm going to tell you that right now.
Oh, Barks, loving you.
See you next week, buddy.
Okay.
The Gold Village Program in partnership with the Rainbow